Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is a good God. He's amazing. I wish that I could understand the depth of God's love at the end, at the you know, right now. You know, God, He's got so much more for us at the end of time. It's here available, but I've got to grow into that. Amen. Don't you ever get hungry that you want to grow faster and faster? I know that we grow according to God's best and His timing if we're yielded to His Spirit, but I'm hungry for the deeper things of God, aren't you? I want to see the fullness of His love and His promise and His provision. If you would open up your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and I want us to look at some things tonight, and we're just going to hit some high points because here's the question that the Holy Spirit has for you and has for me tonight. If we're not careful, we limit God because we put pressure on ourselves. We're not supposed to put pressure on ourselves. So here's the question that the Holy Ghost told me to ask you tonight and to ask myself, do I have faith in the Lord or do I have faith in my faith? Do I have faith in the Lord or do I have faith in my faith? Because if we're not careful, we're always looking and saying, well, if I just had a little more faith, or if my faith was a little more pure, or if my faith was a little more active. And if we're not careful, what we're doing, we're putting faith in our faith rather than faith in the Lord. When we do that, we may not recognize that or realize that, but we're just going to look at some verses of Scripture, and there's countless of Scriptures in the Old Testament. We won't have time to look at that. We're just going to look at a few in the New Testament that will build us up according to the faithfulness of the Lord. Amen? All right, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's read the first three verses of this chapter. If you're there, say amen. The Apostle Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. That's what you and I want. We want this word glorified. Amen. Lifted up, exalted, even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We know that, right? We deal with them. We see that, and our heart aches for them. For all men have not faith. That's why we pray for the Word of God to have free course, because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But look what he says in verse number 3. Mark this down, write it on the table of your heart. But the Lord is faithful. What tense is that? Right now, and on and on and on, right? But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, O glory, and keep you from evil. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you, and keep you, keep me, keep his church, his body, from evil. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for honoring the word. I'm so glad to be a part of the plan and the will of God with you tonight. So I want us just to step back and let's just think about some things tonight. Now, you were saved by the grace of God through what? Through faith, right? God gave you the grace and you put your faith in that grace and that saved you. And the Bible says that God dealt to you the chosen, the called out of the world. He dealt to you the measure of faith that you could believe in that grace. And so tonight, you're assured of your salvation, that it was nothing that you done other than believing in the Lord. And because you believed in the Lord and you accepted that grace and you let that measure of faith start working in your spirit, then all of a sudden you were born again. You were born from above and you were called into the family of God. You were called with a holy calling. And God put a name on you, the name of His Son. Amen. And you were stamped, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. So if God started this great work in your life, in my life, all because of His faithfulness, then why would you and I want to limit Him by start questioning the faith that we have? See, because the devil, he'll love to come and sit on your shoulder, sit on my shoulder. He'll love to get us looking. Here, the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, there's evil people all around you. There's trouble all around you. There's people who don't have faith all around you. But that doesn't determine whether you're going to be successful or not. That doesn't determine whether you're going to have joy or not. That doesn't determine anything about your life, because your life is determined by your relationship, because you're hooked into the vine. You're in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so we've got to be in that place, in the position where we don't let the devil cause us to back up from God's promises. Because God's promises are yes, waiting on our amen. And we've got to be in that place where we say, my God's faithful. He knew what He was doing when He called me. He knew what He was doing when He gave me grace. He knew what He was doing when He baptized me into His body. Amen. God had a plan for you. God loves you so much, and He has a potential in your life and in my life. And so we want to be in the place and the position where we stop putting limitations on God by looking at what we know and what we understand. Right now, I'm in a struggle, and there's some things happening. The devil's trying very hard to move me and to move you out of the perfect will of God. He's challenging us. The devil is, and he's trying to challenge our faith. He's trying to challenge what God has called us to do and be. And you and I, we've got to stand strong and recognize and realize it doesn't matter what everything looks like. It doesn't matter what it feels like, because we're a group of people that don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, that the measure of faith that God dealt to us. And so we've got to get all of these other things, and we've got to put them down, and we've got to let that hope, that confidence, that assurance of who we are dictate what we can do. Because by the word of God, you and I, we can do all things. God is your source. He is my source. And so let's think about some things tonight. He said, but the Lord is, in verse number 3, 2 Thessalonians 3 and 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you. And this word establish, it means in the Greek, He's going to set you fast. I mean, it means that you are set upon the rock. And if you're set upon the rock, if I'm set upon the rock, then there's no storm, there's no evil person, there's no faithless person that can move you from where you're at. Come on now, because Jesus set you there. And you had the faith to accept that planning in the Lord, that call of God. And so you're going to have to be in the place where there's going to be a challenge to whether, the devil wants us to think God changes His mind. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and Hebrews 13:8, right? So God doesn't change His mind. You're going to be offended. People are going to mistreat you. They're going to talk about you. They're going to abuse you, because Jesus said, if the world hated me, they're going to hate you. And there's going to be people even that walk under the title, under the banner of Christian, that are walking falsely under that title and banner, and they're going to hurt you. But you don't allow that to determine what you do or don't do. Amen. I'm in a battle right now. I'm wanting to just throw my hands up about some things and say, just forget it. And the more that I desire to do that in the natural, the more the Spirit of God is trying to pull me and trying to get me to yield to Him. But guess what? The flesh is unruly. And when we get discouraged and when we get upset about things, if we're not careful, we'll make bad choices. We'll make wrong decisions and all of those things. And so we've got to say, Lord, that grace that saved me, it's going to keep me. That measure of faith that you dealt to me, that's going to be the guiding force in my life. And I'm going to, the Bible says, Old Testament, New Testament, the just shall live by By faith. And so we're not living by what we're feeling. We're not living by what we're seeing. We're not living by what our natural mind might be comprehending. We've got to learn to live by faith. So let's think about some things out of this verse. He said, but the Lord is faithful, present tense. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Now, I love this. So we've been determined in these verses of Scripture that there's evil men around you. There's evil men around me. There's faithless, godless people around us. But you have a promise tonight, and that promise is that God's going to keep you. Now, this Greek word, it means that He's going to guard your life by keeping His eyes on you. Isn't that exciting? The eyes of the Lord are upon us. And so, in other words, just think about it. From the throne of the Lord, He can see all things. He can see the beginning from the end. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Amen. So He can see all of these things. And so you have an assurance that because of His faithfulness, that He's going to keep you tonight. Amen. So what we've got to do is we've got to not reach up into the hands of the Lord and take out of His hands what He has for us to do, what He's called us to do, what He's trusted us to do, all of those things. Because if I reach up there and take it out of His hands, then I'm in charge of it. I've got to guard it. I've got to keep it. Guess what? I can't see like my Lord can see. You can't see like He can see. And so we need that confidence that He's going to guard us. He's going to guard His blessing. He's going to guard His anointing. He's going to guard His will, His call on our life, because He's looking. He's seeing every move of the devil, and He laughs. Come on, the devil cannot outmaneuver your Savior. Think about it. The Bible says if the devil had understood what Jesus was doing, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He sealed his own fate. Amen. So you have that assurance tonight. Your God, my God, is faithful. And so what I want to be in the place and the position where I let Him keep me from all evil. So let's think about this tonight. You and I were struggling through some things. There's a lot of activity of the enemy that is going on. But as strong as that activity seems, and is the way that you and I might feel outnumbered, let's encourage ourselves just a little bit. Let's look at from the time of Adam to the time of Noah. And you can add it up yourself, but you know, we're looking at anywhere between what, 1,500 and 2,000 years. And as we look at that time period, let's think about what was going on in that time period. In that time period, we had the fallen angels who were coming to earth, and we had man's heart was continually on evil. And we had a population increase like never before. Now, let's think about it now. We've been 2,000 years since the cross. Where's man's heart at? And we've had a population increase like never before. We're getting close to 8 billion people. I mean, it hasn't been just a few years that we hit 7 billion people. So think about that. So let's think about the number of people that could have been alive in the time of Noah. Now, we don't know. We didn't have a census, but just putting in an understanding of where we're at today and understanding how long they lived in that time compared to how long we live tonight, we're talking about they were a lot of folks. So I want you to imagine God dropped His faithfulness in Noah, because Genesis 6:8 says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Tonight, you and I, we have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. And so here Noah is, and he has this revelation of all the wickedness and all the things that man's heart is upon. And God tells him, listen, I want to make you a preacher of righteousness. And I'm going to use you to judge the world. I'm going to use you. And so all of a sudden, he starts living a life that becomes a preacher of righteousness. And God gives him a command to build an ark that would be the saving for him and his household. So we read in 2 Peter there that they were 8 souls in his household that were saved. So you got 8 souls out of how many millions, how many billions? We don't know. We can only speculate. But they were making a stand for righteousness. So you are not in the minority, in the factor, or in the scheme of things the way Noah and his family was. We are in a minority, but not in that grand scheme of things. So if Noah was faithful, God kept him by grace, then he's going to keep you by grace. Amen. So it doesn't matter how great the number of evil is. You and I, we are saved by the grace of God and our faith therein. And he's dealt to us that measure of faith because our God is faithful. So I need to live my life not in what I can do or can't do, but in that seed of faithfulness in Jesus Christ that God has deposited in my spirit, in your spirit. Come on, that's encouraging. Now, can you imagine? Noah had to see all of these things. He saw the evil. He saw the perversion. He saw the fallen angels and them taking whatever wife they wanted. And he saw the corruption that was come. See, the corruption was not just in the flesh of humans. It was in the flesh of animals. We're coming right back to that. Are you seeing where they're wanting to marry their dog? They're wanting to marry their animals. We're in a sick time of society like never before because history repeats itself. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. And we'll look at that in a moment of time, Lord willing. So we've got to see that all of these things is coming back around. But Noah, he made a stand. And they were perverting all of the plant kingdom. Where are we at right now? They're mutating. They're changing the DNA of our plants. They're destroying our food value. They're doing all of these things. Everything is repeating itself. So we're in a time frame that we need to be very aware of. But what I want you to be hopeful about tonight is if Noah and just eight family members in his household can make a stand against all of that evil, then you can make a stand because he was under the old covenant of grace. You and I were under the new covenant of grace. You're stamped, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. He abides, he lives in you. Your God is faithful. Amen. You got to believe that. You got to hold on to that. Let's look at, turn over and hold your place here. Let's go to 2 Peter and let's read a verse or two and see some things that will help us. 2 Peter chapter 2. Look what it says in verse number it's in verse number 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, come on, that's those fallen angels, the Nephilim that fell, Napha, meaning to fall from heaven, to fall from the will and the plan of God to the work of the enemy, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. Verse 5. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So can you imagine here? God said, I've gave Noah grace. I've gave his household grace, and I know they're going to stand for me. That's what God's done for you and I. He knows that we're going to stand strong for the Lord. You're God's faithful. He saved you for a purpose. He saved you for a reason. You have a destiny tonight. Amen. And nothing can keep you from that destiny if you hold on to that grace. So we've got to hold on to that grace. We've got to let God's faithfulness determine what we do, what we don't do. Amen. He's the one that is saying yes to you. He's the one that is emboldening you. He's the one that is empowering you. And if you'll believe that, and I know that you do, it'll change everything. Turn back over to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Verse 19 is talking about those angels, but verse 19 is. But verse 20 says, which sometimes were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. So think about it. All down through the Word of God, God has come down to where it was just a remnant. But that remnant brought God's Word to pass. The devil couldn't stop it. Come on, how many times was the bloodline almost stopped? See, that's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to corrupt the bloodline where Jesus, Genesis 3:15, could not come to pass. That's what it's all about. But he couldn't stop it because our God's faithful. Our God's greater. So if God made sure Jesus was born and you've accepted that birth of Jesus and you become born again in Jesus, guess what? That faithfulness that has saved you is going to keep you. So no matter what's happening in your life, no matter how discouraging things may look or may seem, you've got to come back to that relationship, to that assurance that God saved you for a destiny. He saved you for a purpose. Amen. And hold on to that. Let's read those verses in Matthew 24. We could look at at Luke 17, but let's just read them, and we're going to get to where we're going in just a second. But I want you to be encouraged tonight that things is not as bad as what the devil would want to make you believe, want to make me believe. In Matthew chapter 24, look at verse 37. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah, or Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So this gives you and I a time frame of where we're at. If we're seeing all this evil, man's heart continually upon evil, and we're seeing the corruption of flesh. Come on, they're trying to alternate DNA right now of all humans. They're alternating in plants. So we're seeing this. We're seeing where we're at. You and I, we need to be looking up because our redemption draweth nigh. We don't need to be looking around. We need to be looking. We need to be listening for the sounding of that trumpet. Now, he said in verse 38, for in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Now, most of the time you hear this preached, they just want to talk about the normal eating and drinking and the normal giving in marriage. Yes, that was happening. But we're talking about what was happening with the fallen angels. We're talking about what they were eating. Come on. We're talking about entities here as they were first born into the earth. You can look and go into the caves in our southwest United States, and you can look in the caves of the Indians, and on those cave walls, they will be paintings of giants anywhere from 18 to 30 feet tall, and they're carrying in each hand a buffalo. They just run down through, they just grab a buffalo and just pull its leg off and start eating it. This is what the eating and drinking we're talking about. All of these things is a perversion of what God had, and all of these things is coming back around. They're trying to create and recreate. That's why they're digging up all of these bones and all of these things. They're trying to pull that DNA. See, the devil wants a seed. And he wants to stop the seed of the Savior. And so you and I got to be in that place. But he said, Jesus, so when you start seeing all of these things happening, he said, until that day that Noah entered into the ark, verse 39, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There's a flood coming. Revelation 12:15 tells us the flood of the last days is the flood that comes out the devil's mouth. It's a flood of lies. That's where we're at right now. Lies are believed and received and embraced and retold and retold over and over to try to brainwash people. That's the flood that's in the world right now. But you and I, we're in the last day ark. The last day ark is the ark of Jesus Christ. And that ark is going to keep you. It's going to keep me from this deception and these lies. But we've got to be in the place where it's not about us, but it's about the faithfulness of our God. Amen. Say, my God's faithful. He's going to keep you. Amen. So let's address some things here and let's look at the faithfulness of God. Go with me to 1 John. Now, the way that God's faithfulness is presented in your life and the way it's accepted and the way it takes root and blossoms is that we're honest with God and God's honest with us. So look what the scripture says here in verse number 9. 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he, talking about our God, our Lord and Savior, he is, present tense, he is faithful. Now mark this down in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible app. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now notice verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, you and I, we're born again, but you're going to get your feet dirty. That's why Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. And that was an example for us. As we walk through this dirty world, things are going to happen. We don't mean to sin. We don't want to sin. We have a heart to follow after God. And we're going to get closer and closer to the Lord. And we're going to get farther away from sin and its influence. But we got to be in the place where we're willing to tell the Lord, hey, I make mistakes. I get away. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. So any place in your life, in my life, that we don't have faith, that's sin. See, I have trouble believing God for finances. But and so I've got to continually come to the Lord and say, Lord, I repent. I know that I'm not in faith in this area, and that is sin. I repent. And so I come to that place of repentance, and I say, now, Lord, you give me the scripture. You give me the word. You give me the encouragement. You give me the direction in my life where I can what? I'm being faithful to him because he's faithful to me. In other words, I'm making confession. Not to the devil, not to the world, but to the Lord who can help me in my weaknesses. He wants to build me up. He wants to build you up. And so we got to be honest. Now, I'm just going to tell you some truth. And we got some division in this church right now. We got problems. And we need to confess it to the Lord. We need to give it to Jesus because he is the Lord of this church. He's the guiding force of this church. He's going to have the first say and the final say as long as I'm standing behind this pulpit. And I'm going to be here till he says go. When he says go, that's it. But in the meantime, you and I, we got to be in the place where we say, Lord, show me the truth. Where am I at? Am I in rebellion? Am I in disobedience? Am I not walking in love? All of those things are sin. And so, but he is faithful to forgive me, not only to forgive me, but to cleanse me. What does that mean? That means to deliver me from that weakness, from that tendency, from that stronghold, from that lie of the devil that would keep me from being all God wants me to be. But I've got to be in the place where I'm humble enough to receive what God would have for me. Amen? You've got to be in that place. And so what we want to do is we want to yield to the Spirit of God and we want to say, my God is faithful. Come on, there is no temptation, but is what? It's common to all men. We're going to all be tempted. But with that temptation, God's going to make a way for us, and that way is the Word of God. The Word of God will embolden you, and it will empower you. It will embolden me, it will empower me to be able to overcome all things. Jesus is the overcomer, and Jesus is that Word that wants to help you and I to overcome. Amen? So, I need to be in the place where I laugh at what the devil's trying to do in my life. I laugh at it, and I say, Lord, you're faithful. This sin is not going to have a stronghold. This, whatever the sin may be, whatever the division might be, whatever the distraction might be, it's not going to determine what I'm going to do or not going to do because I'm walking, you're walking by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God. Amen? And so we need to be in that place. And so as we're in that place, all of a sudden we start getting emboldened. We start getting empowered to be able to do everything God would have us to do. Amen? Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's look at another verse that talks about the faithfulness of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look what it says in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is, once again, faithful, by whom ye were called. Now think about it. God called you out of this world. Now this word called means that he called you by name. He didn't call you what the world called you. He called you by the name that he had for your holy calling. That's what it means. It means to address by name. See, the world couldn't talk to you in the spirit because the world don't know what God knows about your spirit. They don't understand your spirit because they're carnal. They're of this world. They're of the things that's passing by. There is no spirit in them, but the Holy Spirit's in you. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly the naming that the Lord named you when you were born again. And that name is your ministry. That name is the plan and the will of God for you to fulfill what you were born for, born again for. Amen? So think about this now. God is faithful by whom you were called, who you were called and named, unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. This word fellowship is a Greek word that means partnership. Jesus is partnering with you. Now, doesn't that just blow your mind tonight that Jesus, he looks at us, a partner is someone that's equal. Because of the blood of Jesus, the grace of God, and that measure of faith that he's placed in us, Jesus looks at us as his equal, his partner. The Bible says he's our elder brother. Wow. So my God's faithful, your God's faithful. He's called us. And as he's called us into this place, he's called us into a fellowship, into a partnership with him. That means everything that we do, we don't have to do it by ourselves. We do it with the help of the Lord, because it's not our plan, it's not our will any longer. It's the very will of God the Father from heaven that was written down before the foundation of the world for your life. Isn't that exciting? So tonight, all we've got to do is say, yes, Lord, I know that you're faithful, and I know that there's some things happening, the evil and wicked men that have not faith, this world that the Apostle Paul was talking about there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, they're trying to move me out of my place. But I'm founded. I'm letting the Lord show me the foundation upon that rock. I'm letting him keep his eye upon me and the call of God. I'm letting him make my foundation, my feet sure on him. Amen. And when we're in that place, in that position, it takes the legs out from the enemy. It makes those fiery darts lose the ability to explode in your life. That shield of faith, it extinguishes all of that. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship, the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now notice what he says, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions, no schisms among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You and I, we can think the same things. The Bible says if I'm not a carnal Christian, he goes into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and it talks about a carnal Christian, how they can't receive the promise of chapter 2. Chapter 2 is 1 Corinthians 2:16. You and I, we have the mind of Christ. So we can think the same things. We can have the same vision. We can have the same plan if we're in that place, in that position, where we don't let God separate us from each other. Because just as far as I am from my brother and sister, that's how far I am from the Lord. I'll never be any closer to the Lord than what I let somebody move me away from what God's plan, because we're in the body. God has a destiny. He has a plan. And we've got, as we talked about this morning, we've got to put our arms around one another by the power of the Holy Spirit and be in that place where we're holding each other up in the will and the plan of God. Amen. So God is faithful. So everything that's trying to discourage you, to discourage me, to keep us in this place where we're not in unity, where we're not joined together, we need to recognize it. It's a lie of the devil. It's a work of the enemy. And so we cast it down in the name of Jesus, and we just let the Lord just unify us like never before. Amen. Now, there are so many verses of Scripture. Let's look at another one here that I think it'll bless you. Go with me to 2 Timothy, and I want us to see something here. Paul, he talks about, you know, we talked about this morning how the Lord stood with Paul and how the Lord strengthened him and how he helped him. But in 2 Timothy, look what he says in starting in chapter 2, starting in verse number 9. He said, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." See, the devil, the closer that you and I get to the will of God, the plan of God, the more that the devil is going to try to bind you and I up. He's going to try to keep us from having the liberty to do what God would have us to do. But Paul says in verse 10, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory." So you and I, we've got to get our mind off of what we're feeling, what we're thinking, and we've got to realize that our life is to help somebody else to find salvation. That's what our life is about. That's what the call of God is on your life and on my life for. So God is faithful. God has called us into this ministry of reconciliation. He's called us, and you're going to go through some things, but everything that you're going through, the devil wants to keep you from that partnership with the Lord to bring salvation to people. Amen? Now, stay with me. Verse 11, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." You and I, we've got to crucify the flesh. Paul said, "I die daily." And so anytime that you're feeling separation from your Lord, or you're feeling separation from your brother and your sister, it's the flesh. It's not the Spirit of God. And so you've got to come back and you've got to say, wait a minute, I need to put something on the cross. Not the Lord's cross, on my cross. I need to put it on the cross that the Lord told me to carry. I pick up my cross daily. So, Lord, you help me. Show me what's bringing this division. What's bringing this misunderstanding? What's causing us not to have the same mind and the same judgment? And you hang that on that cross. And when you do that, grace comes. And that grace is sufficient. It's enough to stop, to topple, to just completely demolish what the enemy has in mind for us. Amen? Verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. You're going to suffer. But that is how you reign. Because you and I, till we go through some things, we don't understand anything about ruling and reigning. But when we get closer to the Lord and we stand in this faith, and that faith is opposition against hell, against every lie of the devil, against every work, when we stand against that, then all of a sudden, here we are. And we that suffering is what elevates us to the place of reigning. That's why, as we talked about this morning, we can start to count it all joy. We can put it up into that place where it's secure, and it secures us, where it keeps us from being moved and motivated in the wavering, becoming unstable. He said, when I waver, I'm unstable in all of my ways. So I can stop all of that if I'll just apply the word. But we read all that to read this. Verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. So I've got to see that if I start putting faith in my faith, then I'm putting the pressure, the emphasis on me. And I'm really not believing in him who is faithful. So I've got to step back and I've got to say, Lord, would you correct me in love? Would you speak the truth in my heart tonight? Show me every area that I'm misunderstanding what faith is. I've let the devil twist some things. I've let him cause me to see things through my eyes and to understand and take information and to process it according to self instead of according to the Savior. To self and according instead of according to the Spirit. And so when I start yielding to him, then all of a sudden I realize how faithful he is. He's not going to let me fall. He's not going to let you fall. Now I can pull out of his hands if I want to, but I don't want to, do you? So we need to be in this place where we put all the confidence we have, all the emphasis on the Lord. Amen. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Just a couple more verses. I won't hold you long, but I got to get this out. In Hebrews chapter 10, here's another illustration of his faithfulness. Verse 20, it says, by Hebrews 10 and 20, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. See, when we don't really ever talk about that veil being written true and about his body being broken for us and what that really means to us, how that got us to the place of the Holy of Holies. Another sermon for another time, but it says, and having a high priest over the house of God, say, I'm the house of God. Jesus is your high priest. He's my high priest. Verse 22, let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of what? Faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed in pure water. Now, here's why we came here. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? For he is faithful that promised. He's faithful. So the only way we can keep from wavering is we stop looking at self. We let the word keep. We keep doing what Paul taught us in Ephesians chapter 5, down about verse 26, being washed in the water of the Word. Let the water of the Word come over you, come over me. And all of a sudden we see how faithful the Lord is. And as we see that, we're able to hold fast. That word hold fast, remember, it means to be set, to be planted upon that rock. That rock is Jesus Christ. That rock is that word. So let him stakehold you. Let him keep you in that place of permanence, that place of power. There's power when the enemy can't move you. Amen? For he is faithful that promised. Now look, here's how you know where you're at, and I know where I'm at. Verse 24. Let us consider one another. See, all of a sudden, if I'm my faith is in and from the Lord, then I have the compassion of the Lord. And the compassion of the Lord is that I'm not thinking about what I'm feeling, what I'm seeing, but I'm thinking about the compassion that the Lord has for those who are lost and undone, for the brothers and sisters who are going through a trial, through a struggle. Amen? And let us consider one another to do what? To provoke unto love and to good works. God's faithful. See, I got to be in my place. You've got to be in your place. And we can't determine what our place is. Only Jesus can. So many people, they try to go to the church they want to go to, or they try to operate in the ministry that they want to operate in. And your ministry is going to change all through your life as you grow and develop and as needs are presented to you. But you've got to be faithful to the ministry, to the calling that God called you to. I've got to be faithful in that. And when we're in that place, we're in a place that's untouchable. The devil can try to tempt, he can try to discourage and all those things, but you're in the place of great productivity because you're in the place where your life is a praise to the Lord. I want my life to be a praise to the Lord, don't you? This is how we see that. All right. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5 and we'll close. All of this is because of Jesus in your life. It's because of what he has brought to you. Let's look at the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, you know this very well, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is, of course, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. What's the last one in verse 22? Faith. My God is faithful. And the fruit of His Spirit, of me being baptized into the body, and His Spirit being in my spirit, is that gift of faith. It's a fruit. It's a fruit. It's here for me. I don't have to go out here looking for it, searching for it. It's inside of me. See, the devil wants to always make me think that someday I'll have enough faith. It's the fruit that's in your life. It's the fruit that's in my life. It can't help but come out of your life. It can't help but come out of my life if we'll what? If we'll simply exercise the word that God by His Spirit is bringing to us moment by moment by moment. See, if we're not careful, we're wanting to believe a word way down here where God's given us a word for this moment, and this is the word that we need to operate in, to need to yield to, that will release our faith. Amen? So, our God is faithful. He's faithful. It don't matter what kind of sin is trying to come in our life, He can help us to overcome. It doesn't matter what kind of division is trying to come in our life. Jesus is the unifier. He's the common denominator that can put everything together. Amen. It doesn't matter what kind of odds is happening. If I see that Jesus has called me with a holy calling, if I see that He has something for me to do, I can provoke others to good works. I can provoke them to love. I can fulfill my destiny. Come on, that's my calling. That's your calling. Then I can what? I can operate in this place, in this position of faith. If I see it's not of me, but it's of the Spirit of God in my spirit, this fruit of the Spirit is just something that comes out of your life because God put it there. Amen? So what we've got to do is we've got to say, God, how can I live day by day in your will and in your plan? Amen? I'm going to try to get this out. Lord, help me. This is a true story that if you'll receive it tonight, it'll change your attitude about everything about your life. I want you to go back with me just to the close of the Vietnam War. There's a man named Roger Sims. He just got discharged from the United States Army. And he was walking to the bus station. He's got everything he owns that he brung out of the military, he's got it there in his backpack, and he's walking down the freeway. And as he's walking down the highway there, he hears a car in the distance, and so he thought, well, I'll give it a try anyway. So he said, I'm just going to try to hitchhike a ride here. So he sticks his thumb out. To his surprise, coming over the hill is a big, long, black Cadillac. That black Cadillac, it starts slowing down and it stops and it pulls off the side of the road and the door opens. And he said, you need a ride? And he said, yeah, I do. So he threw his bag in the back and he sat down in that Cadillac and they took off. So The guy says, "Where are you headed?" And he said, "I'm headed to this certain little suburb. I don't remember the name of it, just south of Chicago." And that guy said, "Well, you're in luck." He said, "I'm headed to Chicago. That's my home base." And so they've got a couple hours together. They're just talking about everything. And the Holy Spirit, see, he's a Christian. Roger's a Christian. Kept prompting him to witness to this man. And so time went by, and finally he realized, hey, we're 30 minutes from where I'm going to get out. And if I'm going to ever witness this man, I've got to do it now. So he explained to him sin and the solution to sin. He explained to him the love of God, and he ministered the gospel to that man. All of a sudden, when he spoke out the name of Jesus, that man jerked the car over and pulled off the side of the road. And he thought, well, I guess this is where I get out. But that man looked at him. He said, "Would you help me pray the prayer of repentance?" See, this man's name, his name was Mr. Hanover, and he had a multi-million dollar company. It's called Hanover Industries. And he prayed that prayer with him, and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Went on up the road at his destination, and he led him out. And when he led him out, he gave him his card. He said, "Here's my card." He said, "If you ever end up in Chicago," he said, "be sure and look me up." He said, I'd like to talk with you again." Well, 5 years went by, and in this 5 years, he'd got established. He got married, he had a child, and he started his own business. And that business called for him to go to Chicago. So he remembers Mr. Hanover, and so he looks all over and he finds that card. And he said, "When I get to Chicago, I'm going to look him up." So he gets to Chicago and he takes care of his business. And then he looks at the address and he finds this man's corporate office there in Chicago, downtown Chicago, and he goes to the front desk and he asks, shows the card. He says, "I want to see Mr. Hanover." And the lady said, "Well, you can't see him, but you can talk to his wife." And he said, "Okay, great. That'd be wonderful." And so it wasn't too long till they called him and somebody come and got him and took him back to a back office. And so this lady greeted him in this big, beautiful office. And he introduced himself, and she said, "So how did you know my husband?" And he said, "What do you mean, no?" She said, "My husband died 5 years ago." He said, what do you mean? He said, "He was killed in a traffic accident 5 years ago to the day." That was May 7th. He said, "On May the 7th, he lost his life." He said, "He was coming into Chicago. He was involved in a car accident and he was killed." He said, "Ma'am," he said, "5 years ago," said, "your husband gave me a ride as I was discharged from the military." And said, "I got to share with him the gospel." And he pulled over to the side of the road and he accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And she said, "Son," she said, "you don't know what you have done for me." She said, "I've been a Christian my whole life." And said, "I prayed for 40 years for my husband to be saved. And I stood on the word of God where he said that all of my household will be saved. I believed that." And said, "He was killed and I never saw him to get saved." And said, "I turned my back on the Lord. And I said, I will not serve a God who's not faithful." And she said, "You have told me that my God was faithful, and I didn't have the understanding. I didn't know that. And I'm in a place right now where I'm in awe of who God is, and I repent. And I turn everything back over to him." You see how faithful God is. God put a message in this young man, and he put this young man in the very footpath of this guy who's just moments away from the eternity. And he gave him words that will touch his heart. You have words tonight that will touch people's heart. God's faithful to you. We need to be faithful to him. Amen. We can't be bothered by, we may not understand each other's doctrine. We may not understand what each other's trying to do or wanting to do in the natural, but we can understand in the spirit. We're all about the same thing, and that's reaching the lost. That's feeding them. That's clothing them. That's being a mentor to someone who needs it. Amen. Let's be about our Father's business. This lady could have died in rebellion. She could have died in the place of rejecting God. But God was so faithful that He sent this man back to her with the message of salvation. Amen? Life is not boring being a Christian. Life is exciting because that means all things are possible because we're serving God. Amen? Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I love You. We love You as a group of believers. I asked You right now that anything that would be a separation, anything that would be a division, the God that is the God of unifying, the God that is the God that is more than enough, come into our hearts, souls, and lives, and let us be about our Father's business. Let us recognize and realize that heaven and hell is at stake. And let us be in that place, in that position where we yield to You. We trust You. You are faithful. Lord, touch every person here, starting right here with myself, and help us come to that place of complete submission, complete humility in the very hand of God, that You can exalt us and lift us up to that new place in You, and Your will can be done in and through our lives. Lord, let it be. Let it be. Let the devil receive a death blow in this plan, in this trial, in this struggle that he's trying to do, and let us just glorify You in everything that we do for this moment forth. Let it be supernatural, and let it be in perfect timing, in key with the harmony of worship, the harmony of praise for Your glory. Let it be. We ask You in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen. Would you come tonight, make yourself an altar, and say, Lord God, I thank You that my steps are ordered by You. I thank You that I'm going to see the lost saved. I'm going to see the sick healed. I'm going to see the bound delivered. I'm going to be in that place. I'm going to be in the time of the Lord, in the will of the Lord, and I'm going to have the power of the Lord because my God is faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you let Him just encourage you in every way? I love you with all my heart. I want what God has for you more than anything in the world. I want us to be successful. And the only way we can be successful is if we walk in love and we work together. Amen. Hallelujah.